I think he said that home sweet home no longer has the same meaning that it had in past centuries. Mm-hmm. He said the changes in technology, population, demographics, and the economy have altered the way we live in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, well, of course, especially technology has changed the way we live in a house. The ability to have anything and everything at your fingertips is kind of amazing. Good and bad, I guess. It's kind of like home sweet home was probably pretty nice and sweet and wonderful and kind of things we all kind of aspire to, but we still want the new things that we can have now, you know. And also your house is, it's run better. It's the systems are better in a house. The HVACs, all those sort of things, the sound system, you know, it's all just gets better and better with years, you know.
I would still think that within that you could still feel a home sweet home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would think most of David's homes were home sweet home. They were comfortable to live in, you know. You made sure that they were comfortable. You know, they came in, you felt like you were welcomed into a house.
Fair to say that David created English-style palaces for an American aristocracy.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of, living in New York and working in New York, and you get exposed to people, and that's where a lot of money is. And, you know, people come to New York from all over the world also. And they search out people to do work for them. So if you get established and you're well known, you know, one thing leads to another. You're very fortunate, you know.
Did he do much work in foreign countries?
In England and Mexico. Where else did he do? Never. Yeah, I think that's really about England and Mexico. Yeah. Canada.
Didn't he work for the Kluge, John Kluge?
Yeah.
And you talk about wealthy people and getting to meet them. John Kluge was a television industry mogul here in the United States, and at one time he was the richest person in the United States. Mm-hmm. How did David meet John Kluge and his wife?
Patricia, I think, was his maybe third or fourth wife, I can't remember now. But anyway, they were in New York and they were looking at furniture at Stair & Company. And Alistair Stair was the owner of Stair & Company. And they Stair sold beautiful English furniture. And they were, you know, known, you know, they were just a very good dealer. And anyway, John and Patricia said, who should we talk to? We want to build a house in Charlottesville. And they said, and Alistair said, well, you have to talk to David Easton. So they called David, and Patricia and David met at the Carlisle Hotel and sat there over a drink, and David sketched out what the house ought to look like.
On a napkin,
on a napkin, yeah.
Weren't they famous for doing that?
Yeah, David was very adept at, I mean, he could be talking to people and kind of, what do you want? And he could start to sketch something out very quickly. And the floor plan, everything, I mean, you know, and I wouldn't say not all the times, but a lot of times, it pretty much felt exactly what he started out thinking about, you know.
Those could be framed. They probably were. Your renderings have been framed, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So.
But I just want to pursue a little more about John Kluge.
Mm-hmm.
In 1986, he sold the Metro Media television stations to 20th Century Fox
mm-hmm.
for $4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then those stations would later form the core of what would become the Fox Television Network.
Yeah.
And the following year, Forbes placed Kluge on the top of his list as the richest man in America.
Mm-hmm. And he was John was a very, I mean, he and David got along very, very well. And I think John respected David, and David certainly respected him. And John was very much, yeah, he didn't, I mean, he cared what things cost, but he was, you know, all you had to do was explain to him why this was good or blah, blah, blah. And John went, okay, fine, let's do that. You know, he didn't, you know, the only thing that he did probably in the house that David really didn't want to do, there was an existing house and he wanted to keep the main part of the house on the that foundation, and David would have torn the whole thing down. Well, it all came down anyway, but he would have just gotten rid of the foundation and started over and made it a bit different. And John was now, he was, you know, kind of like, well, we'll save money, we'll do this. And you're kind of like, okay, we're fine. So yeah, certain things you go, okay, fine, we'll work within that print then.
So what was the worth of that house when it was built?
Oh, I don't know. It's so hard to tell because there's so much that goes into it. And you add up all the prices, it just gets to be sort of silly, ridiculous.
but it was sold at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had some financial reverses and sold it, but for nothing.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So most houses like that end up being sold for practically nothing.
How big was this house?
I think it was probably 30,000 square feet, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you would describe it overall as what kind of a house?
It was a Georgian house, and it was very elegant, and it was very livable to live in. I mean, we were down there a lot for holidays, and anyway, it was just, the bedrooms were beautiful, the living room was beautiful, the library was beautiful, gardens were beautiful. It was just a beautiful house to be in. You know, there were so many different facets to it, you know, that were it made it a fun house.
I've often thought about houses that are that big. We have some pretty big houses in Tulsa, yeah, too, and just two people live there.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are we building houses that big anymore?
I think they still are. You kind of wonder why. Because you can't live in all the rooms, so to speak. Right. And if you have a house like that, I mean, Patricia wanted to entertain. So if you have a house like that, you need to entertain. And that's what she wanted to do. And they did, you know. So, you know, then you use a house if that big of a house, you know.
Yeah. They gave a name to that house, didn't
yeah,
they? What
just,
was it?
Just Albemarle House.
And where did the Albemarle name come from?
Oh, it's the county that the house is in, Albemarle.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I was reading about the house, and it's, as you just said, by Patricia and then her then husband, John. And then you just read about this, and it was in Donald Trump became the new owner of the entire estate.
Yes.
And that was in 2012 when Trump paid $6.5 million for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a chunk of change, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right. And then we go down here and read about this all, and there's David Easton's name in it. Home design demanded top flight treatment despite its compromised position, it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a Donald Trump house then for a while.
Well, yeah, I think that Patricia, when John and Patricia got a divorce, she was giving money, and then she was given kind of X amount of dollars every year also. And Patricia did some good things with the money and made money and things, but then she decided she wanted to have a vineyard. And vineyards are very expensive, and it's kind of it's like horses and vineyards you probably shouldn't get involved with unless you've got a lot of money. And anyway, because of that, she ran into some financial difficulties, and then the banks caused, you know, you've got to, anyway, they basically were told she had to sell all the contents to beat the bank's demands. And anyway, so that somehow he bought it, which he always buys things like on the cheap. You would never be able to buy that house for $6.5 million, or shouldn't be able to buy it.
Right.
Yeah. Right now, I think it's a hotel. I mean, I don't know what he calls it, but anyway.
And Trump owns it.
Yes, as far as I know.
Turned it into a hotel.
Yeah. So it's very small. I mean, it only has 5 bedrooms plus a master bedroom. So, you know, it's a luxury hotel, a petite hotel.